Hello and welcome to This Nomad Life. I have an interesting show for you today. My friend and fellow nomad is here in my studio, my minivan. He has some great stories to tell and information to share. So let's get started. Hello everyone, I'm your host Minivan Lee. I'm recording from my minivan out on federal land near Quartzsite, Arizona. I'm far away from the cities and the towns and the highways. I'm in the byways. It's a beautiful sunny day in Arizona. I have a special treat this week for you. I have Max Dollarhite here with me. He's a nomad. He's become a really good friend of mine, and we're parking pretty close to each other. And he has a lot of wisdom, and he's got some tales to regale, and he wants to tell us about how he got going on the nomad life and what he does as a nomad. So I'm going to hand this over to Max. So Max, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, okay?
Okay, well, I'm Max, and I'm the oldest of seven children. I grew up in mid-Michigan, north of Lansing, on a 40-acre square farm. We were the only house on the road, and I went to a one-room schoolhouse down on the corner. It was a good life. My parents provided well, and we had what you would call a subsistence off the farm kind of like. We butchered in the fall, cured our own hams and bacon. We had lots of chickens, ducks, geese, a few pigs, and one cow, which we milked morning and evening to provide milk. We made butter, cheese, and had a 1-acre garden, and my mother canned a lot of products for the winter. I went to the one-room schoolhouse. We had outhouses in the back. It was before the milk program, so we did not have milk, so I was the water guy. I would take a pail out and pump a well and bring water in. We all had a cup that we used to drink water with our sack lunches. It was a good life, and we had a lot of fun playing in the woods. I went to high school. I did well in wrestling. I lettered a couple years. I studied Spanish for 3 years. I graduated in good place in high school, and then I went into the military for 3 years, and I served it almost all in Germany right during the Vietnam era. I was fortunate. I was a payroll clerk. After the military, I hired in at a job that I worked for 30 years and was very fortunate to be able to retire. And after about 10 years of real estate, sales, and a couple of other small jobs, I got the urge to start traveling. A friend of mine told me about boondocking, and I started looking at YouTube videos, and that's how I got started doing the nomad lifestyle. I'm very happy doing this. I was out for 3 months 2 years ago to come to the RTR, and when I went back after that 3 months, I sold my house, and then I began an 8-month nomad lifestyle, traveling across the northern U.S. back to the RTR, which was held in Parker at the fairgrounds, and I continued traveling between Lake Havasu, Quartzsite, and Yuma back and forth perhaps 3 times over the 8-month period. And that's when COVID hit, and I went back to stay at my brother's place for 4 months in Michigan, just north of Lansing. But I left again from Michigan July 26th, and I plan on being a full-time boondocker, nomad lifestyle, until I get tired of it. And I can't imagine being tired of it. I'm enjoying this. 2 or 3 more years, maybe, who knows what. But I hear people say they could do this 10 years, and that's always possible too. If I ever did settle, it would probably be in southwestern Missouri, near Branson, because when my parents retired and sold their farm, they had friends down there, and they moved down there and lived for many years, and they enjoyed it very much. I've been there over 30 times. I spent 2 winters in Branson area, very mild winters, and hiking trails are very abundant, huge lakes. I would buy a small speedboat that I could just tour in, going around on the lakes, finding, seeing different scenery. And I just like that area of the United States. It's centrally located. It's a one-day drive back to Michigan to see my family there. It's a long one-day drive to Longmont, Colorado, where my 2 daughters live. So I'm just very, very fortunate to have this lifestyle and relax and do what I want, the freedom to be where I want to be. And along the way, I get to meet some very nice people. I'm very happy with this lifestyle. I would recommend it if you can. I think the biggest thing people have a problem with is the fear of change and reaching out. But I also think that YouTube videos are a great help, because you see other people going through the same thing that I went through very early on, and it helps you to conquer those fears, because you see other people doing what you want to do, and they are happy, they are successful, they have found a lifestyle that allows them to be the person they want to be. It is a great lifestyle. I'm enjoying it so much. And I just plan on continuing. I'm in a situation that I have enough income to provide what I need. And I can be traveling, I can stop and have a meal. I try to budget, but at the same time, I have enough that I can partake in a lot of different activities. I am able to see things I want to see. I can afford the fees. And I wish other people had that. I know some people are on limited budgets, and they still do just fine. They have a great lifestyle, and they are probably much better at budgeting than I am. Again, I'm very fortunate.
Yes, you are. Are you on a pension?
Yes, I have a pension and a Social Security.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, and great health care, which is a big, big plus.
Exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so people ask me, well, where do you get a shower? I go to Planet Fitness, mostly.
Do you belong to Planet Fitness?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You got that membership going?
Yes, and here again, that's why I'm fortunate. My pension, my health care, pays for it.
Right.
So it's just available to me, and
yes.
what a blessing. If I'm somewhere else, I pay $8 for a shower in Quartzsite, or $3 for a shower at the YMCA in Yuma.
Yes.
And so, but Planet Fitness is my main go-to.
YouTube.com, Minivan Lee. Videos about nomad life. instructional videos, travel videos. I will teach you how to live in your minivan or SUV successfully in style. I share ideas and gadgets, including a really great solar setup, so you can keep yourself powered up and have energy throughout your travels. It's a great life, full-time. It's also great for using your minivan as a camper for vacations. So go to youtube.com and search for Minivan Lee, L-E-E, Minivan Lee. Please subscribe and ring the bell for notifications. Now back to the show.
In a small community of only 650 people, beautiful town, Maple Rapids, Michigan. But I was so far away from a larger city that when it started snowing in the fall, if you left home and drove a half hour or 40 minutes, it could start to freezing rain, it could start blowing snow, it could start drifting. And before you knew it, you were faced with a tremendously hazardous drive going back home from the bigger city. So I ended up being what they call cabin fever. And sure, I had a wood-burning fireplace, and I had TV. I had different things I could do with a computer. I have hobbies. I build model airplanes. But after a while, you just get tired of staying home because you're faced with the weather situations. There's a huge amount of deer. You're always on lookout for that you don't hit a deer driving in that countryside through the cornfields, along the woods. So after a tremendously cold winter about 6 years ago, I said something has to change. It was the worst winter I ever had experienced, and I lived there my whole life. And I used to love ice skating. I ice skated until I was 35, and I had an accident on a bowling league where my shoe, the seams gave out on it, and it my foot slid out of the shoe, and it pinched a nerve so badly I had to have surgery. And my ice skating days were pretty much put on hold, and I never really got back into it. So my winter enjoyment activity came to an end. I always said I liked winter for the first snow. I go out and make a snowman. I throw a couple snowballs, and then I start waiting for spring. Oh, here I am.
I love that.
Here
just
I
a
am.
Couple, huh?
Tired of Michigan winters, and I had went to Missouri and spent two winters with my mother near Branson, and I was amazed at how mild the winters were. And I liked the area. I made several friends. I was then able to travel a little bit. I spent two winters in the El Paso, Texas area. I stayed with friends. They had an extra room, and I liked El Paso.
Now, was this as a nomad?
No, this was prep.
Gotcha.
This is preparing myself for a nomad lifestyle.
Okay.
So that took up like four years I was out of Michigan winters. Then I decided, well, what am I going to do on the fifth year? That's when I met a friend of mine I'd known in Michigan, the Lansing area, and John showed me photos of Lake Havasu City where he boondocks in the Craigie Wash. I said, that looks very interesting. He said, well, check out the YouTube channels. I look under boondocking, and bingo, right away, I told my friends, I'm going to go out west and just live out of my van and maybe a tent. And they said, well, what about your house? I said, well, I've put it up for the last 4 years. I've locked it up. I've turned the heat down. I turned the water off. And I went out west or Missouri or Texas. it worked out good, so I will just do the same thing. And for the next 2 years, I locked up the house, turned the heat down, turned off the water, and I was on my way. The problem with this is I'm still paying for heat. I'm still
okay,
paying.
So what kind of rig did you get?
I have a Chrysler Town and Country van, and I had been living out of a tent when I went camping for 30 years with pickup trucks, cars. I always used a tent, but I would go to Wisconsin Air Show every year. I've been there 32 times, and I would always be in a tent. Well, here I was with my 4 milk crates and my 2 Walmart tubs in my tent, and they were predicting 5 straight days of rain in Wisconsin. I said, this is not going to work. And I looked at my van and I said, well, I'm going to sleep in the van. I took all my camping gear out of this tent, and I was surprised that I had the seats fold down in the floor. They're all flat. I put my 4 milk crates toward the back because there's a little bit of a rise in a Chrysler product. And the other 2 bigger tubs in the front, I put my plywood board down on them, put my 5-inch foam mattress on. I was amazed that it was all level. And so for 5 days of rain, I slept comfortably dry in my minivan.
Yes.
And it was a true awakening. So the couple 3 years that I went camping and went to Oshkosh again, I was always in my van. I threw away the tent. It was getting old anyway. I just threw it in the dumpster. And so I've been living out of my van, my minivan, ever since.
Yes. And so I'm going to give an estimate. It sounds like because you went through a little bit of a, you were traveling around, but you didn't really start boondocking living in your van yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess, was it that you have actually been in your minivan now, what, 3 years maybe? I'm going to guess.
3 winters, but the first winter was only 3 months long.
Okay.
Because I went back to my house and opened it back up.
Well, we don't need an exact, but yeah.
And then the second winter, it was 8 months total.
Okay.
And starting this last July 26th of 2020, I'm full-timer now. I sold the house.
Yeah.
I'm on full-timer, and what a blessing.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a feeling of freedom. And
well, we have fun out here.
The open road beckons, and gas is cheap.
Yeah. Are we having fun out here?
We sure are having fun.
Yes.
We have a blast. we laugh, and we joke around.
Oh. We're outside all the time. It's so cool.
We're outside, lots of sun.
Yes.
And so we have lots of friends also on the road that we meet along the way, and some of them are just a joy to be around. So, and overall, people are very respectful of other people's lifestyles, and what they choose to do is up to them, and we have the same freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm enjoying it very much. So I'm full-timer. I'll continue. And I have activities. I am in Quartzsite right now. I actually joined the Model Airplane Club here, and I help them with their model airplane show in January. I'm a gopher. I do whatever they need to do. And I did bring model airplanes out here the first year I was traveling. They're radio-controlled sailplanes. The electric motor takes the plane up a certain level. I cut out the motor. I shut it down. And the propellers fold along the side of the fuselage. And then I catch rising air currents, thermals. So on a 10-minute battery, I can stay up 45 minutes.
Wow.
It's very relaxing.
How big are these airplanes?
Oh, about 4 to 6 foot wingspan.
Ooh, yeah.
They're big. The wings come off and they go into a box.
Yeah.
And that's what I do as a hobby.
All right.
So I have other activities out here, too. I love the rock.
Yeah.
Looking for rocks. I'm not a rock hound, but if I find something interesting, I give them the rocks to my friends.
Yeah.
They know what to do with them.
Amazon links for gadgets and fun stuff for nomad life. Go to youtube.com and check out the video descriptions. There are links for Amazon products. When you use the links, I receive a small commission when you order within 24 hours of putting the item in your cart. Now, even if you don't purchase that particular product, but you buy something else after using my link, I receive a commission on the item you purchase. This helps fund my videos and my podcast costs, which can be large sometimes. But thank you so much for doing this for me. And all of the links are products that I use and I have already tested out and are for the nomad life or camper life, if that's what you choose. Now back to the program. We're back. Welcome back. Okay, Max, well, maybe you want to tell me, maybe not. So how old are you?
I'm 73.
Okay.
As of last May.
Very good.
2020.
I know, it doesn't seem very old anymore, does it?
Well, not they really. Say 70 is the new 50, and I'm very fortunate that my health has been quite extraordinary. I tell people that when I go in for a checkup, my doctor jumps in the air and clicks his heels. He's so happy that everything is normal.
Well, he must really like you.
I'm still...
I've never had a doctor click their heels before for me. Well, hey, I want a doctor to click their heels.
And so I'm grateful. I've had good medical care most of my life, and I think that's so important. Good dental care. I've been very fortunate, I admit, and I'm grateful for that.
Very good.
But I put in a lot of hard work for 30 years, and I had quite a stressful job many times. I was an inspector. I was a quality control person that had to tell the supervisor that his men are not following the correct procedure in assembly of products, and he would go over and correct them, and they would look over at me and say, "That's the guy that turned me in," which I did not like, but I was being paid to be produce a good quality product for my employer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful for the job. It provided so much for me: education, a home, car, health care, a good wage. And I was very grateful for that. It was a gold mine to be able to have a job that provided all that. So I did my job, and I also taught statistical process control for a while for my employer. I enjoyed that. I enjoy teaching. I should have been a teacher, but I've always enjoyed teaching. I've taught people how to drive cars. I've actually taught people how to take an airplane off from a runway and climb out, because I was very fortunate. When I was 22 years old, I got out of the Army, and I had been a passenger in small aircraft and small helicopters many times because I was a payroll clerk and we would take the money out to the field where the troops were training. I always loved airplanes, and when I got out, I got a job north of East Lansing, Michigan at a small grass runway airport, and I would mow runways, wash airplanes, sweep hangars, and every 10 hours I worked, I got 1 hour of flight training. And in two summers, I had my pilot's license. And I flew for probably 35 years. And I did a fair amount of flying. And I took a lot of people up.
So you have a pilot's license.
Yes. And it was so much fun to take my uncles up for a ride. My dad went for a ride. My brothers. I take friends for rides. And I flew quite a few different places. I had a friend that owned a corporation in the automotive industry, and I flew him and his son down to the Indy 500 twice. And of course, he provided the pit passes, the jackets, the hats, the meals. That was great. All I had to do was fly him down there and fly him back, and he paid for the plane rental.
Yeah.
And I've never owned a plane, but I've always rented. It was a hobby for me. I flew in the summer, winter, every season.
So you obviously, you travel alone. You're not, you know, you don't, you're not married or anything.
No, I'm not married.
Yeah.
And I do travel alone. I have been married. I have two daughters that live north of Denver, and I visit them most every year I come through out west here. This year I did not because of the COVID virus, and I did not want to complicate their lives. So out west here, I don't see a lot of people. If we do, we have separation. We're a little separated. We talk.
Okay, so Max, a lot of people, inquiring minds, always want to know, what types of food do you eat, and do you have a fridge?
When I first started boondocking, I have a cooler, and I would put ice in it, and I would have salads and sliced meat, vegetables, and I just got tired of having to buy ice all the time. And I found out that I could, depending on the temperatures, 72 daytime, it's usually 45 in the evening, I mean overnight, and I could put a salad with a bottle of water down in the lower right-hand side of my passenger side floorboard, and I was amazed it would be cool in the morning. And the salad would be perfectly crispy, and I'd have it for the lunch the next day. It's the $2.98 salads are just a nice meal for me. And I...
Now, where do you get these salads at?
I go to Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Other grocery stores have them, too. And I coined a term called soft camping. I get up in the morning, and I usually boondock on BLM land or while there is City Park. But I get up, and I drive into town, usually within 5 to 9 miles away. I find a gas station or Walmart or a McDonald's, and I use the facilities. In the morning, I wash up, and I go out, and I get one burrito and a large coffee. And that's how I start my day. Many times in Yuma, the McDonald's are in a Walmart, so I walk back and buy my $3 salad, which I'm going to eat later in the day, and it stays fresh, no problem. But I got rid of the cooler. I don't buy ice anymore unless it's a special occasion, and that's when I perhaps go out on my kayak. I have an inflatable kayak in my van, in a tub, under my bed.
So you eat salads. What types of food do you actually buy, though? Like, do you just snack, or is the salad the only thing you eat all day? And the burrito.
And a lot of times I have nuts usually on hand. I love pistachios, cashews. I don't eat peanuts hardly ever, but I do like nutty peanuts.
Do peanuts bother you?
No, they don't. But
okay. Sometimes I've noticed that peanuts, some people do have, isn't there like this sort of a fungus that they found grows on peanuts and it bothers people?
I got tired of them years ago.
Oh, okay. You got tired of the peanuts.
Again, I can afford a higher priced deluxe mixed nuts. And I buy the low sodium. I'm a low salt nut, you could say. Mm. I get enough salt wherever I go anyway. But I buy... spur of the moment, if I'm in a store, I'll buy sliced, not lunch meats, not processed meats, but hams, chicken, turkey, sliced turkey, beef, and I'll have them with crackers. I hardly ever eat bread, but I have crackers, usually the multi-grain crackers, and I will use them. Now, I buy a fair amount of veggies. I love to buy a pound bag of carrots, and I just pull them out of the bag. I figure they're already pre-washed, and I'll use a little mayonnaise packet or a relish packet or even a salsa packet, and I will eat a carrot or celery while I'm using some of the contents of those little condiment.
And I've got over there, that I've got, that's your little bag, that Thousand Island that I promised you.
Yeah. The meat, that's where I get my protein. I hardly ever eat chicken, but I do feel I have a balanced diet in that I occasionally go to a restaurant and I try and order sensibly. And I go to, especially breakfasts, get my eggs, bacon, or whatever. I do not carry eggs around with me. I do a fair amount of cooking, and I love soups and maybe corned beef hash in a small can. I try, yeah. But I buy low-fat, low-sodium soups when they're on sale, and I only cook maybe 3-4 times a week in my cast iron skillet.
Okay, Max, how do you spend your days? I've had a lot of my followers on my YouTube channel say, don't you get bored out there? What do you do all day? So what do you do all day?
Well, my first hour is taken up getting ready to start my day, getting my small breakfast, get my coffee. And it depends on where I'm at a lot of times. If I'm in Lake Havasu City, I right away go down to the Rotary Park, which is so beautiful along the lake, and I will walk a mile. And they have exercise equipment. The equipment I use is the push-up bars, the sit-up bars, platform. They have a rowing machine that I use. And then I always have my camera, my phone camera, and I take photos of whatever's going on. When I'm done with that, I get on my social media, which is my Facebook. And I post videos of what I'm doing sometimes on my Facebook.
Can I interrupt just for a second for all of you listeners out there? If you hear a little bit of a flapping, I've opened my window. Got a little warm in here. And I did put up a tarp, you know, as sort of a shade. And the wind is kind of, wind picks up out here in Arizona, doesn't it, in the afternoon? It can pick up. And so it's kind of flapping. So, but it's more authentic camping noise. I just wanted to alert y'all to that. So tell us about your kayaking.
Well, in Lake Havasu City, this same fellow I'm talking about that got me started in boondocking, John, we call him Kayak John. He has a Jeep, but he has his own inflatable kayak, and he takes three other kayaks around with him in tubs on his bumper so he can take his friends out kayaking. And we go out on Lake Havasu. I have a $105 inflatable kayak off Amazon called the Solstice. There's many others, but this is the one he uses. He has 1,200 miles on his kayak, and he put one patch on it in that amount of time. But I have a electric inflator, rechargeable. I have a hand pump inflator. I have my life vest. I have a rudder, a keel rudder to keep you going straight, which just clicks onto the back. I have my paddle. The paddle is alongside my bed in my van, but everything else fits in one tub from Walmart. It's a silver, they come in silver, blue, and black. It all fits in that one tub. It goes under my bed. And that's how I've kayaked over at Imperial Dam on the Colorado River. Back in Michigan, I had it out several times kayaking during that COVID thing. When it got warm enough, I had it out. And I still plan on getting up to Havasu mostly. And I love kayaking out across the lake, along the lake shore, through the channel. I go underneath the London Bridge and then go back. It's about a two-mile kayak trip, and it's just enjoyable. And
it's good for the upper arms.
Oh yeah, and the waist especially. The waist.
Oh, the waist too. Right down. Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
And I've been a kayaker for many years in a hard shell when I lived along. I lived in Lansing for 25 years, and I had a hard shell kayak and a canoe. I lived right on the Grand River. I could just take it from my yard across a city park and put it right in the river. I lived there for several years And my waistline got trimmed pretty good down.
From paddling. Yes.
I really enjoyed it.
Just one paddle.
Yeah, you know.
In a kayak, you just use the one. Because I'm not from...
Kayak is a paddle. You go stroke one side, and it goes the other side.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
The two paddles, oars kind of click together and make a big kayak paddle.
Okay.
With a canoe, you usually
just tell how much
have
I know about kayaking, yes.
Canoe, you have a paddle, and you flip sides with it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
One side at a time.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Very good. Okay. Well, very good.
So that's one of my activities. When I'm here in Quartzsite, I belong to the Model Airplane Club, and most mornings when I'm done getting my breakfast and using the facilities at a gas station or somewhere, I go over to the Model Airplane Club, and I sit there and maybe look at my Facebook and call my friends back in Michigan or wherever. I also get out and talk to the Model Airplane guys. They know me. I also enjoy going through a small park here in Quartzsite. It's a Celia's Memorial Garden. They label all the different plants, and of course it's a memorial garden, so there's people that have passed on and their families have inspirational, I guess you'd say, little messages about their loved ones and maybe what their loved ones hope for and what they live for. And I think it motivates me to live my life in the best style that I can, because at the end of the time I have, I like to think that I enjoyed what I was doing and was good and fair to people, and that everyone will know I had a good life. That's what my goal is. Mm-hmm. And walking in places like that is a big plus. If I'm in Yuma, there's another big Model Airplane Club there. I just kind of observe. I do know a couple of them. But in Yuma, I hang around this BLM land called Fortuna Pond. And I found out about that pond by reading the book Nomad Land, which was about the RTR and the boondocking lifestyle and how people make a living out on the road. And they are making a movie out of it. I've heard it's going to be released around December 5th mm-hmm. of this year. And Frances McDormand is the star. But I'm not going to brag much, but I've given away about a dozen of those books to people that I meet on the road. And I don't know how to explain it. I just want to give them hope by reading this book and seeing that people have done this lifestyle for years before maybe they got started. So I've given away about a dozen of these books as a gift, and I buy them at usually Barnes & Noble. And it's just my little part in making other people's life a little better. So
do you spend much time in cities like I do? Because you know me and my listeners pretty much, well, my YouTube followers, I spend a lot of time in cities mm-hmm. and hanging out. Do yeah. you at all?
Well, I didn't at first. I was always on BLM land because I knew that was a safe place, a legal place that I could be without too much hassle. And when I'm traveling, I try and find Walmart parking lots to stay in at night. And it's worked out pretty good. I've stayed in a couple roadside rest stops overnight, no problem. But when I got to Lake Havasu and going down to the Rotary Park, there's so many places to walk. The walkways are just, you can go 5 miles if you want. And the exercise equipment. So I will spend a couple hours in town in Rotary Park. Before I get to noontime, I go get something to eat somewhere. Or I tend to go to a movie now and then. And then I got to Reno, Nevada, where I met up with you again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lee gave me a choice. I was going to go from Idaho Falls, Idaho, to Las Vegas or to Reno. And she said, well, it's very hot. This was back in July or September. And she says, very hot. And as it was, I had a high school friend in Reno. I said, well, I'm going to go to Reno. So I met up my high school friend. It was nice to visit again. And then I camped in the same park as you in Idlewild, and it was lovely. It was, I love the Truckee River, and it was a good base of operations for me because I went over to Lake Tahoe, which was awesome. I drove up around to Virginia City, which I spent part of my day there, and then I made it back to Reno, and that's my operational for me is to do a little traveling.
Yeah.
And sightseeing.
To be a nomad. I invite you to visit minivanlee.com. There's blogs, there's a great contact form so that you can email me, you can ask me questions, and you can tell me about your life as a nomad or your life getting ready. There's links on there for videos from my YouTube channel. Please visit minivanlee.com today. Okay, Max, where would you like to visit that you haven't been to before? What's your number one? Anywhere in the world.
Number one probably would be Glacier National Park. I'm not exactly sure exactly where it is, but it was kind of closed up this year because of COVID, and so I didn't go. I also want to go to Yosemite, which I guess is a springtime activity because it gets cold there, snow and everything. But I've been fortunate. I have traveled a fair amount.
So Glacier.
The Glacier National Park.
What state is it in?
Northern Idaho, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I have friends from Michigan that's traveled out there, and that's their very, very favorite place.
Okay.
So I'm taking their recommendation.
Yeah.
And I've seen different photos of it. It's just awesome scenery. But it's pretty rugged. I'd want to make sure my vehicle is well maintained and that I am prepared for it because it's a huge area and weather could be a big factor. So I'm fortunate. When I was in the military, I went to like 8 different countries in Europe, but that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I hitchhiked from the North Sea to the Mediterranean with a backpack on my back. That was quite an awesome adventure when I was only 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But in the United States, when I sold my house, I start traveling out of Michigan across the northern tier, the Dakotas, Minnesota, and over into Wyoming, Idaho, Utah. Last year, I did get into California a fair amount when I was in the Yuma area. I would go across the border. But
well, okay, another question, nonsensical question. What's your favorite word? I know you love words. You love words. When Joanne was here, you come up with what's your favorite word?
Well, I have two favorite words. That's
okay.
Serendipity.
Yeah.
And synchronicity.
All righty. Both with an S.
But my favorite goofy word is ointment.
Oh, you love that. Huh?
Ointment.
Isn't that funny?
It's just such a
ointment.
Ointment.
I know.
It has such a nice sound, but it's
there you go.
It's you can figure out what it is. Everyone knows what ointment is.
I know.
But it just intrigues me.
Okay. Let's see. Describe your perfect nomad parking setup. What's your perfect? You can even make it up if you're in your imagination. What would be
everyone
perfect?
Likes maybe shade and a nice cool breeze and a hot Arizona day.
Oh, yeah.
I find that I need to be level.
A level, yes.
I sleep in my van, so I'm always looking for the level. And I don't need a level. My brain senses level.
Yeah.
And if it has just a small foot side down and a small left curve slant off the side, it means I stay in my bed. I don't have any fear of rolling out. Not that I would anyway. I sleep very well.
Yes.
I've been doing it a long time. People say, you mean you slept in your van for 8 months every night? I said, well, I live out of my van.
Yeah.
And I'm outdoors all day long. But when it gets dark, I go in and I check a few things on my phone. I watch a couple YouTube videos, perhaps. I like to read. And then when I get tired, I just, my bed is comfy. And like last night, I slept 9 hours and 45 minutes soundly.
I went right to sleep last night, too.
Yeah.
I mean, instantly. And I slept all the way through.
Many 10-hour nights. Many 10-hour nights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no noise.
And you have promised that we're going to do, probably pretty soon, next few days, a van tour. So everybody, if they're watching YouTube, they can actually see your van and what it looks like.
Yes.
Your system.
I can,
your
I'll
setup
be working on
inside,
that.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is I buy clothing as I go. Souvenir type clothing,
mm-hmm.
maybe a ball hat, and I accumulate things.
And we got
right
a hoarder
now,
here.
Last
hoarder.
Year I donated quite a bit to Goodwill.
Yeah.
When I was in Havasu.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'll be donating. There's a Salvation Army right here in Quartzsite. I'm getting ready to donate older T-shirts, older shorts. This lifestyle is great for me. When I was confined for like 4 months during this COVID virus scare, I gained some weight. I found out that I put on what I call my COVID-19, because I was sitting in my brother's fifth wheel camper out by his bull barn for 4 months, and it was snowy, cold, rainy, and I just when the refrigerator is 10 feet away,
yeah,
it's easy to snack. Well, since July 26th, I think I've lost my COVID-19 and another maybe another six on top of that. So my clothing is where I'm ready to buy about 2 inches smaller waistline clothing, which is great. I love the feeling that I'm more fit. And it's a lot of us getting into this lifestyle away from a constant, either nervous or lonely or boredom trip to the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's working great for me.
Well, alrighty, here's my second to last question. If you had a billboard, what would it say?
Well, I don't think I'm a class A type person, like energy-wise. I'm a little more methodical. I would put something like, but I'm always on the go. So I would be Max, always on the go, but don't expect to get there too fast.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a presence on social media? Is there any way for our listeners to contact you or check you out on social media?
I'm a Facebook fan. My niece got me started quite a long time ago, and I knew all my grandnephews and grandnieces' first names. It was wonderful. And I've located friends that where I was in the service with, and we can stay in touch.
To give who you are, what your name is on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. You can find me at Max, M-A-X, Dollar Height, which is D-O-L-L-A-R. H-I-T-E. It's an English name, Old English.
Yeah.
And I have probably close to 1,200 Facebook friends. Some people follow me. A lot of what I do is I take photos and I put them in photo albums for my friends, my family. Some of it's family history. Sometimes it's local history of where I live or where I'm going. And so many of my classmates or friends from school tell me that they travel vicariously through what I put on my Facebook, because I try and get photos that are interesting, and I especially history of an area.
Mm-hmm.
I try and get that.
Yeah.
And I present that. So, but I even post videos quite often.
Yeah.
But I do not have a YouTube channel, for instance.
Right.
And but on my Facebook page, you go to the album section of my photos. I probably have 30 photo albums.
Yeah.
And, but yeah.
Well, so anybody can reach you,
yeah.
Max,
Max.
Dollar Height, H-I-T-E.
Yeah.
It sounds like we need to do another follow-up with you, a part two. You have so much and you're so interesting, Max.
Wow.
And would you be willing to do another follow-up?
Sure.
I know it.
Sure.
We'll have to do a part two because I know that my listeners are going to be really interested. I think you have a lot more to talk about with the actual boondocking and this lifestyle, the nomad life. So I really want to thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Lee. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it so much. Thank you all for listening to this episode 10. Can you believe it? Episode 10. Wasn't Max wonderful? He is a wealth of information. I have so many more questions to ask him. We have to get him back here for a part two. Now, what I would like to remind you of is youtube.com, Minivan Lee. I have so many videos, and my latest one yesterday that I put up was on taking a shower. Oh, yes, taking a shower using a shower toga. Have I intrigued your interest? Go check it out. And bring down the video description for all those Amazon links. Christmas is coming. I hope you have a wonderful week. I know I will, as I live this nomad life.